Well, here we are once again. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Barry. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, my brother. And how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thanks, my friend. Doing all right. Beginning to enjoy the spring weather over here. How about that?
Well, you know what? And we are very thankful that I think I've complained to you that, you know, in the mornings it's been almost freezing. It's been having frost alerts. But today it's not a cloud in the sky, and it's like 15 degrees. So wow. I think spring is finally making an entrance here in southern Ontario. So I'm very happy about that.
Spring has sprung, as they say.
Spring has sprung. And how is your transition going?
From work to not work.
Well, it's a different kind of work, I think, right?
It's a different kind of work. Yeah, it still feels like I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
I keep myself busy every day. I kind of get out for a walk. Have I frozen, Barry?
Yes, you have. I noticed. Do you want to come back in?
Is that better? Let me come back in.
You're frozen, so...
Okay, let me...
Okay, so we'll go back here. Just a brief second for Mark to get sorted out. We've been having a little bit of today. We've been having a bit of an issue, and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
There we go.
We're back. Look how quick that was. Like, I mean, that's like seamless, right? You know, we have a technical issue.
You're such a good producer, director, and presenter. All in one go.
As they say, chief cook and bottle washer.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the rhythm, and of course with COVID and shutdown and like all that, affects, you know, your transition as well, right? Just because there's a lot of changes happening in the world. So, but
it's okay. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah. Well, that's the most important thing. And
I'm not missing doing tax returns.
Okay, now question for you. And I'm guessing, you know, when you were invited into your office to do your tax return on your birthday, and I'm guessing you probably didn't get to the tax return.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Oh, that you did.
That took me 10 minutes to do the tax returns, and then it took me an hour to have cake and coffee and talk to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's okay.
I came home with half of the cake and a bottle of bubbly.
Well, very good. Well done. I just
that was all good.
If it was me, I don't know if I would have had the discipline to do the tax return.
Well, I got in there. I knew coffee and cake would be about 10-ish, so I got in there at 9:30 to get that done before.
Very smart. Very good. So you've got an announcement about the seminars coming up?
Just about the seminars that are coming up next week. It's the second part of our series on Embraced. So last month, Barry and I did Embracing a Childlike Heart. And next week, Monday and Tuesday, I'm doing the second part with Wynette, and it's called The Embrace of Comfort. So I'm taking bookings until Saturday. So if you want to join us, you need to go to my website, fathertoyou.com/embraced, and just sign up, and then you'll get all of the links. The two sessions each day on YouTube. And then at the end of those, we have a session on Zoom. So if you want to come, you're very welcome. But you do need to sign up by the weekend.
Yeah.
And it'll be good.
It will be very good. I've said this before, but just the revelation of that you carry and when it carries on comfort is very, very powerful. And I think it's something that, you know, it's so practical in everyday life, but yet it's so something that we miss oftentimes. So yeah, I would just encourage you to sign up for sure. Anything else going on in your world? You traveling anywhere? Having any speaking engagements for virtually?
Travel would be nice.
It's coming.
No, I was in. It is coming. I was at church in Gloucester last Sunday, and I'm back there again next month. Nothing immediate, nothing imminent coming up at the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All good. What about you?
I'm
in Toronto last week.
Yeah, I was in Toronto twice a day last week for the School of Ministry. Normally I'd be there in person, but again, this is an opportunity to share with people who are in different continents, different time zones around the world. So this is kind of a unique way to do it. But like you, I'm hoping one day we'll actually be able to set foot into churches and be able to look at people that look in the people in the eyes. So one day it's coming.
Well, we have a new on Monday, next Monday, we are being unlocked even further. More of our restrictions are being lifted. So from next week, we'll be able to go into a pub, into a restaurant, and have a meal. Quite a lot of other things are changing. But one of the things that we are going to be allowed to do legally is we're going to be allowed to hug people from next week. And the government has published guidelines on how to hug safely. I mean, you know, it's understandable, of course it's understandable, but if 2 years ago you'd said the government would be publishing guidelines on how to hug safely, you know, everybody would have gone, what? You know, and I think, you know, maybe 5-10 years time we'll look back on this, what, the government showed you how to hug?
Yeah.
You know, where we're at now, obviously we need the guidelines, we need some information, but it's just so bizarre to be told something so basic.
But yet, you know,
I don't want to rub it in, Barry, because I know you're still in lockdown.
We're in lockdown. We will be probably for, you know, some time yet. But it does bring hope, really. You know, I think I think coming out of this, from kind of a humanity perspective, I think there's going to be a greater value in just human connection. And, you know, and those hugs, right? And I think it's perfect timing for what I'm sharing tonight. Is really, really apropos for the hugs being released throughout the UK next week. So I'm very excited about that. So,
well, when we've learned how to hug in the UK, maybe I'll take a video and we can have a lesson on future webcast, so that we all are prepared.
Absolutely, and of course, you know, Canada.
The five steps to safe hugging.
Yeah, well, Canada is part of the Commonwealth, so you know, as does our big brother, then so do we. So yeah, we want to learn how to do it properly for sure.
Well, you know, Queen's English, Queen's hug, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, we'll be leading the world with this new revelation of.
Absolutely. On that note, would you just open up in prayer and on hugs and anything else with that you feel like you want to bring us into? That would be great.
Sure, no problem. Father, thank you that you're not restricted in any way.
Yeah.
And thank you that even though we face these physical restrictions and physical issues at the moment, we just so grateful, Father, that your embrace of love is as real for us today as it was a year ago. And Father, we just thank you for that embrace of love. When we know we're held in your arms, when we know that we're safe, and we know we've come home.
Yeah.
Father, thank you that embrace of love is life-changing.
Yeah.
And I just simply ask today, Father, that all of us, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever's going on in our lives, we would simply step into that embrace of love.
Yeah.
That you so freely offer us all the time.
Mm.
That, Father, it's not dependent on us. It's not dependent on how we feel or how we've behaved. It's simply dependent on who you are. And that never changes.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just bless you. We thank you. And I just ask, Father, that you would just let your anointing rest on Barry as he shares with us, that you would just take his words and bring them into our hearts.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. I'll see you in a bit. So pray for I just said to Mark, you know, this is a kind of a new message. I mean, I've shared components of this before, I think a couple times, but the title for this topic is The Tangible Substance of Love. And I feel like, yeah, so I'm going to do it with, I'm going to be using slides, and because there's quite a bit of information that I feel I that's swirling around in my heart in it. But, you know, I do want to kind of give a disclaimer that when I talk about anything statistically, anything scientifically, anything in the psychological realm, I'm doing so not as an expert in any way, shape, or form. I am just, I really am fascinated, I guess, by how love actually impacts every part of our being, every fiber in our being. And so, when I share these things, I just encourage you to do your own research even. And if you're interested in like some of the kind of the physiological, things that happen, the ripple effects of us, being in love, living in love, receiving love, and giving love. And so that's what I want to try to get through today. And I pray that the Lord will give me the grace to do it. And so I appreciate certainly your prayers as well. So, you know, again, it's the substance of love that we're talking about today. And so, one of the things that with love is it can be expressed in many ways, that we actually give love and we receive it. And we can love as a parent, we can love as a brother or sister, we can love as a grandparent, we can love as a friend, a spouse or our church, or, you know, we can receive love as a parent, we can receive love as a brother, sister, or grandparent. There are so many ways. Love is so multifaceted in the way that we can relate to each other. And the reality is God created us to experience all kinds of different expressions of love. And each one of those expressions are a necessary part of our well-being. Love provides us with safety and security. It gives us a sense of belonging. Love tells us who we are and affirms the deepest part of our being. And, you know, the truth is we were all born with a God-given expectation to be loved. We came into this world expecting to be loved, cared for, and affirmed. And no one taught us to expect to love. We just needed it. And, you know, that is the reality is that this isn't something that we had to learn. And all we have to do really is look at little babies. Every baby that was ever born on planet Earth was born with an absolute expectation to be loved. They're not taught that. It's just woven into their DNA. And of course, this is me with our first granddaughter, Riley. And, you know, babies are absolute love sponges. You know, it's not like they ever get to a place where they have too much love and they say, okay, Grandpa, I've had enough love. It's just like there's something that is absolutely woven into the core of the human heart that we absolutely need to be loved. And, you know, love, and this is where I believe that sometimes when we talk about love in a spiritual context, in a religious context, you know, we try to define love or reduce love to a concept. You know, it's not conceptual or academic or it's not a theological ideal. I truly believe that the love that God has for us and the love that you and I were created to experience is substance. And, you know, my friend James Jordan, I just so loved when I've heard him say in the past, love is stuff. Love isn't something, some mystical, you know, thought pattern. It is substance. Like when we begin to realize that love is something that we were created to experience, and it is a substance that actually affects us at the deepest level. Like think about it for a second, and this is just you know, it's just common sense, but when you think about it, it feels good, right? When you get a comforting hug. When somebody, you know, and again, in yay, England, in starting Monday, you know, hugs are going to be allowed. And it's been so long without hugs that, you know, now I really believe there's just going to be a deeper appreciation for an embrace, you know, the very simplistic, what we would take for granted, pre-pandemic. But, you know, when you get a hug from somebody, it absolutely just is so amazing. And the thing about hugging is it's an ability for you and I to give and receive love at the same time. And, you know, it feels good when you hold your grandchild or when a friend has an encouraging word for you or you help somebody or you kiss a loved one or you're affirmed. You know, all those things. And there's many, many aspects of love that when we experience something, it absolutely is meant to actually touch us at a substantial level, not at a theological level. And love is meant to affect every part of our being, including our brain chemistry and our personality. And you know, and of course I've only touched on this. If you do Google searches, there's tons of information about this, but there's feel good hormones called oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin. And, you know, the studies show that when people interact with somebody from their heart and, you know, in a loving way, that these feel good hormones absolutely respond to love. And, you know, even in our brain, love can cause new neural pathways to be developed that can bring healing and restoration to trauma that we experience as kids. And I, you know, when we begin to understand that we were wired for this, God made us to be love sponges, just like little babies are. And, you know, it's not like children learn how to receive love. They learn how to protect their hearts from not being loved. And, you know, unfortunately, being in an orphan world system, that's what happens. But, you know, when you begin to even look at, there's so much kind of insight that's coming out now, even on our brains and our neural networks and how, you know, there's this plasticity of our brain, that our brain isn't just, dormant or rigid, that it actually, all these neural pathways can, you know, be shaped throughout our life. And how that when love comes into our hearts and it actually it comes into the brain and in the different areas of our brain, that it actually can repair and bring healing and wholeness and restore things that were lost. My friend Jack Frost, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he used to talk about four basic emotional needs of the human heart that we all have. And it's to receive, express love, to feel safe and secure, to receive praise and affirmation, and to have a purpose. And, you know, I believe that when those kind of things are when we receive that expressed love, not just a conceptual love, but a love demonstrated, you know, in 1 John 4:10, John writes and he says, this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So like there you see the definition of love from heaven's perspective is that God demonstrated love. He expressed love by sending his own son. And, you know, when we experience love, then we feel safety and we feel secure and we have this sense of belonging. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. And every one of us, you know, we have been born to experience and receive praise and affirmation. We need that. You know, it's wired in our DNA. God actually wove that in the very foundation, in the fabric of our heart. And of course, we all need a sense of purpose and destiny. And I find when we even think of these four basic emotional needs, you know, at Jesus' baptism, I believe we see all four of these basic emotional needs being met. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You see, every one of those four basic needs were met in that statement, I believe, when Jesus said, when the Father said to the Son, this is my Son, he belongs to me. There's safety and security in belonging to the Father, whom I love, expressed love. In him I am well pleased, praise and affirmation. And the Bible says that immediately after those words of destiny were spoken over Jesus, he went to fulfill his destiny. You see, I believe that love affects the very core of who we are. It impacts what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about others, and it determines whether we actually thrive in life or we just survive. And, you know, it is, again, this is, you know, something that has been studied a lot. This is not, you know, just some, you know, thoughts that are just out of thin air. And I just encourage you to do your own research. But there's been many studies that have shown the absence of expressed love can actually affect us at a emotional level and a physical level. And of course, one of the areas where there has been a lot of studying is in the over 100,000 orphans in the Romanian orphanages, where there was just so many orphans compared to the number of workers. And so these workers were just absolutely unable to spend time with these children. They couldn't hold them. They couldn't sing to them. They couldn't care for them. They couldn't love them. And as a result, they had physical issues, they had mental issues, and some of them even died. There's something called touch deprivation. And this means that there's a lack of tactile stimulation early in infancy. And this is a source from the Mosby's Medical Dictionary from 1999. It says, if continued for a sufficient length of time, it may lead to serious developmental and emotional disturbances such as stunted growth, personality disorders, and social regression. In severe cases, a child who is deprived of adequate physical handling and emotional stimulation may not survive infancy. You see, God created us so much in the sense of needing to be loved that even little babies, if they don't receive that tactile stimulation of love, they're deprived of touch, that it can cause them to be sick, it can cause them to have mental disorders, and it can cause them to even die. And so, you know, the question that I would ask is, why is love so important to us? And I think the answer in Genesis 1:27, the Bible says that in His image He made male and female. He created them. That you and I were created in the image of God. And 1 John 4:16 describes the essence of God. Not what God does, but who He is. And it says, God is love. And that scripture says, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God lives in him. You see, the reason why we have this incredible capacity to receive love and to demonstrate love is because we were created in the image of love himself. And C.S. Lewis, for those who know who C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book in 1960 called The Four Loves. And in this book, he described the four loves that are described in the context of the love of God. And the first one was storge love. And the second one is phileo love. And the third one was eros love. And the fourth one is called agape love. But of course, we know that as being the ultimate love of God. And storge love, and this is from Wikipedia, it says it's also called familial love, is the Greek word for natural affection, such as the love of a parent towards offspring and vice versa. And storge is communicated primarily through touch, tone of voice, and eye contact. And, you know, when we talk about some of the damage that it has done, say, for instance, in the Romanian orphanages, it's the absence of touch. It's the absence of a loving tone of voice. It's the absence of eye contact with these little babies that actually caused them to have tactile deprivation. And that can affect them affect all of us for the rest of our life. And then there's phileo love. And this means to be a friend or it's fondness. It's an individual or an object, and this is from the Strong's Concordance, have affection for, denoting personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. So this is, phileo love is a love that is very, very affectionate. And it would be the difference from, in the English context of saying, the difference between saying I love you and I like you. You know, we can love people, but, you know, when we like somebody, it's like it goes to a level of we enjoy them. We appreciate them. We like being around them. And, you know, I know I've mentioned this before, but when I first became a Christian, a leader in our church, and it was a bit of a legalistic church, came up to me one day with a very straight face, and he said, "Barry, I love you in the Lord, but I don't like you very much." My question to you, when I heard that, do you think I felt loved when he said that he loved me, but he didn't like me? You see, if we don't have the revelation of the love of God, that the most natural thing in the world is we can make this assumption that God has to love us because he is love and Jesus died for us, but he doesn't really like us too much. But this idea of phileo love really dismantles that. And of course, this idea of eros love is intimate love or romantic love, you know, between a husband and a wife, and then agape love is the selfless love, the love of God for man and of man for God, and it's this supernatural, unconditional, big love of God that is the agape love, and of course that is the love of God that we read about a lot, or mostly in the New Testament. But you see, every aspect of love, all healthy, pure love expressions were meant to be a foreshadow of God's love. And the first place that you and I were meant to encounter love was through our parents. And, you know, here's a picture again of little Riley with our daughter, Kristen. And God's intended role for parents, for mothers, was that they would nurture us, they would care for us, they would protect us, they would impart warmth, tenderness and kindness to us. They were meant to tell us that we belonged in this world. And it's interesting that there are measurable physiological effects of a mother's love. And I've got this picture of the brain up on the screen, and you see the prefrontal cortex, you see the anterior cingulate cortex, you see the hippocampus, and you see the amygdala. And it's interesting that the hippocampus is the area in the brain that deals with memory, stress management, inflammation, and more. So this is kind of the areas that can be impacted physiologically by love. And it's interesting, in this one study, and this is from lifescience.com, and in January 30th, 2012, they were able to discover that a mother's love can physically affect the size of her baby's hippocampus by 10%. So that means that it can be enlarged, and it can, you know, and that it gives the child the ability to manage life on a greater level. And there was another study, and I didn't put it in the notes here, that in Brazil, even when it came to nursing, and, you know, they were able to see that the longer that a baby was nursed, that there was a connection to how well adjusted they were in later in life and how successful they were. See, this is the thing, love that God has designed us to experience, and it was meant to start with our mothers and our fathers, is meant to be substance. It's meant, it affects us at a cellular level. It affects us, and in every area of our being is affected by this ability to receive love. And this is a picture of our son-in-law, Nick, again with Riley. And God's intended role for our fathers, there was a specific role that God had for our dads to be able to help us. And fathers give us help us to establish their name, and they give us an identity. Fathers are meant to affirm our place in this world. They were meant to encourage us, strengthen us, teach us, and help shape our future. Fathers are meant to affirm a boy's masculinity and a girl's femininity. Fathers are meant to protect and provide for their children and express their delight in their lives. And it's interesting, a father's love shapes a personality just as much as a mother's. And then again, this is from Science Daily in June 12, 2012. It says that a father's love contributes as much and sometimes more to a child's development as a mother's love does. But the reality is that we need both a father's love and a mother's love in order for us to develop in the way that God designed us. You know, the absence of a father's love has lasting effects. Now, the Center for Disease Control says that 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Now, this is a statistic that is connected directly without having that tactile expressed love from a father. And this is some statistics, and I'd encourage you to go to fatherhood.org. It's the National Fatherhood Initiative, and it talks about the impact of not having a father in the home, and their goal is to really come to a place of trying to get the dads back into the homes. But, you know, children who don't have a dad in their home are 4 times greater risk of poverty. They're more likely to have behavioral problems. They're more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. And there's absolutely a lot of other things that, you know, and of course I could have had more and more pages of statistics that it's just this, it just proves that the absence of love absolutely affects us, and then we spend our entire life trying to compensate for that lack of love. And so that, and I believe that God wants to come, and He wants to be able to be able to deal with the father wound, deal with the mother wound, deal with the lack of love that we had growing up. And I believe this is where the substances of His love, that God created us to tangibly be impacted by the power of love. When God said to Israel in Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," what He was saying is that there's never been a time in all of eternity when we weren't loved. God has always loved us. He will always love us. And the truth is that He is loving us in this very moment. Whether we believe it or not, whether, you know, our life experiences have affirmed that or not, the truth is that God is loving you and me right now. And my prayer is that even today, I just have this desire in my heart that each and every one of us would have an encounter with the love of God that impacts us in a way that's so more profound than we've ever had before. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations that His mercies are new every morning. And in 2 Corinthians 6:18, when God makes a promise, He says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, declares the Lord Almighty." He promises to be a father to you. He fathers you in every area of your life. And I truly believe that the more that we open our hearts up to love, the more that we will experience the practical expression of His fathering, not only when we go to church, not only in spiritual things, but He fathers you in your hopes and your dreams. He fathers you in your play and your rest. He fathers you in your family. He fathers you at work. He fathers you in every area. And it's because He's been continuing to love us, He's loved us with a love that predates creation, that it's not about Him loving us, but it's about us becoming awakened to His love. You see, God's love is substance. It is meant to be experienced, just like we were meant to experience a mother's love and a father's love. And in Isaiah 66, verse 13, God is speaking to Israel, and He says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." You see, the father, the nurturing heart of God, the mother heart of God, the feminine expression of His love, He wants to comfort you just like a mother would. And when we experience comfort at a deep level, it is substance. It's not ideological. It's not, you know, something that we think in academic terms. We experience something that touches us at the very core of our being. And in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, David writes this, and he says, "Like a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made. He remembers that we came from dust." You see, when the Father looks at you, He actually has compassion for you. His heart is just, you know, like we assume that he turns away from us. He gets frustrated and he gets impatient with us. But the Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love does not seek its own. You see, with a father, when he reaches out with his compassion, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5, it calls God the father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And what he wants to do with us, he wants to, with a substance of his love, he wants to touch the very core of our need to be comforted, whether we're afraid, whether we feel alone, whether we feel discouraged, whether we feel ashamed, whether we feel rejected, whether we feel misunderstood, whether we feel judged. The Father wants to come, and I just believe even now he wants to pour out his comforting heart on you and I. And the Bible says to comfort one another with the comfort that we've received. You see, that's how love works. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I loved you. As the Father comforts you, you can comfort other people. You see, we can only give away that which we have first received. See, the great love of our Heavenly Father is meant to be experienced. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. You know, I mentioned earlier about the phileo love of God, and this is a love that is meaning that he likes us, he enjoys us. It's an affectionate love. And Jesus speaks of this phileo love, of how the Father feels about us, in John chapter 16, verse 26 and 27. Jesus is speaking, he says this, in that day you will ask in my name. I don't say to you that I will pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself phileo loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. You see, that my prayer for you and I today is that you would know that God doesn't love you with this impersonal, eternal, big love that is not interacting with you. He actually enjoys you personally. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants you to know how delighted he is in the very core of your being. And Jesus is amazing. You know, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our King, you know, he's our Master, but he's also our big brother. And in John 20, verse 17, we can see his brother's heart as he comes to bring a revelation of his Father. And these are the first words this is the resurrection message of Jesus when he rose from the dead and he met Mary in the garden. He said, don't hold me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Romans 8:29 says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And in Hebrews 2, it says that Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. You see, I believe that the Father's love, when we receive the love of a mother, we receive the love of a father. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. The love of a friend, when we receive the love of a brother, and we, you know, even that the love of a bridegroom, you know, that passionate love that Jesus has for his church. You know, every aspect of the love of God will absolutely begin to change us at a level that will affect our thinking. It'll affect our emotions. It'll affect our will. Like, every part of our soul will be transformed. I believe the more that we believe that we're loved and that we're safe and secure in the Father's arms. I love the Passion Translation description of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, because I believe that every aspect, every fruitfulness that is displayed by the Holy Spirit is a result of us being loved. It says the fruit of the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. This love is revealed through joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. You see, I truly believe that, again, this is the outworking of the inward flow of love. When we are loved with an everlasting love, we have joy, we have peace, we have patience, we have kindness, you know, we have faithfulness, we have, you know, we're kind-hearted, we're tender-hearted, we have strength of spirit. And it absolutely changes us from the inside out. You know, I think one of the things when we talk about the love of God, where there is this tension, is faith versus experience, right? It's just like, well, I walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, oftentimes if we're not careful, it's like faith comes to a place where we think that faith is something that it's the absence of encounter, the absence of experience, and we're just walking in this mechanical relationship. But even in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists, and he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, faith is meant to lead us to a reward. But, you know, oftentimes we put so much emphasis on faith that we leave very little room for an expectation of experience. You know, instead of relating to God in an intimate relational role as sons and daughters, we can choose to relate to him in more functional roles. And that's what many people do. You know, they see themselves as workers and servants and soldiers, or maybe pastors and elders and deacons and worship leaders, you know, or even accountants and, you know, lawyers and homemakers. Like, you know, we can have all of these functional roles. And there's nothing wrong with the functional roles, but the God has always desired that the journey of faith would not bring us into function, but would bring us into relationship. Faith is meant to lead us to encounter, and encounter will always lead us to intimacy. You know, John 17:3, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and him whom you sent, Jesus Christ." And that word there for knowing is not knowing about. It's not an intellectual assent. It's a heart knowing. It's an intimacy. You see, God wants us to have that intimate relationship with, in a loving context where it's substance. In John 17:23, Jesus is praying the high priestly prayer. And he says these words, "I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." In verse 24, he says, "Oh, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, will be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." And in verse 26, he says, "I made them known to you. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I may be in them." See, the love that the Father has for us is an eternal love. It is not of this earth. It is not bound by human history. It cannot be tainted by our negative family experiences. It is a love in which we were loved before the creation of the world. It is a love that comes by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Though we will experience this love in our mind, will, and emotions, the gateway, I believe, for the love of God is to be poured into our heart through revelation. And then when love will overflow into every part of our being. And see, this is where I believe that the Romans 5:5, "And God has poured his love into our hearts." It's like when God's love pours into our hearts, it begins to splash up into our soul, into our mind, into our will, into our emotions. And then what ends up happening is that we start to have that transformation in our neurons, and we, you know, we have the parts of our brain and the different centers in our brains that manage stress and fear and joy and delight, and all those things are absolutely, you know, the love of God comes and transforms every part of our being. But you see, I believe that without revelation, we are left with our default settings of love. No matter how much we hear that God loves us, we will only see his love through the lens of our human experience. And I really believe that this is where revelation comes, that God doesn't want us to go to our default settings and try to say, what is his love like? Well, how was I loved by a father? How was I loved by a mother? Well, God must be that way. I believe today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he wants to awaken an eternal love that predates anything we've ever known, predates creation, and that it would begin to impact us at a heart level that will absolutely even have a physiological change in our life. Henry Nouwen wrote about the tension between the first love and the second love. And this is what he says: all our struggles and relationships are connected with what I like to call the relationship between the first love and the second love. The first love is from God, who loved us before we were born. The second love is from our parents, brothers, sisters, and friends, and it is only a reflection of that first love. Sometimes we expect from the second love what we can only what only the first love can give us. Then we experience anguish. My personal struggle has always been that I expected a first love from someone who could only give a second love. And I really believe that so much of our struggle, even trying to relate to God, is because we have been trying to relate to Him through the lens of human love, human experience, how we've been hurt, how we've been devastated, you know, how we've been loved by a parent, how we've been rejected by a parent. And I believe that today, Papa's heart is that we would all experience a first love experience in a deeper way. In Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14 to 21, Paul prays this prayer: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout generations, forever and ever." You see, I believe that is a prayer that the Father wants to fulfill in our hearts today. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you by His Spirit in your inner being, so you will have power to grasp the bigness of His love, and that you might be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Now, before you say, "What do I have to do?" Well, the next verse says, "Unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think or hope for or imagine." He does the work. He does the pouring in our hearts. You see, I believe that our Heavenly Father wants to bring us to a deeper sense of an encounter with Him than we have ever known. I believe He wants His love to so impact us that it physiologically transforms us at a cellular level. The human brain is, from what I understand, is made up of an estimated 100 billion neurons, making a total of 100 trillion neural connections. Those things are really big numbers. But I believe that the love of God will literally blow our minds. And we talked about at the beginning of this the power of a hug, and how in the UK that hugs are going to be allowed starting on Monday. I believe that the Father wants to hug you today, and that hug from Him will transform you at a level that will blow your mind, that it will rewire your circuits, that, you know, any rejection that you had, like in Psalm 27 verse 10, when David said, "Though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me." The Father is receiving you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to pick you up. He wants that His love to actually transform you at a cellular level. He wants to restore things that were lost when you were little kids. He wants to restore childlike trust, childlike peace, childlike faith, childlike innocence, childlike simplicity, and onward and onward. In Isaiah 40:11, talking about God, it says, "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young." You see, I truly believe that the Father, in His great love for you today, He just wants to embrace you. He wants to convince you that there's nothing in all creation that will separate you from His love. And so I want to go into a little bit of a prayer ministry in a minute, but I'm going to play just a 3-minute video on the actual practical benefits of hugs. And I'm going to read, because some of the text on that you might not be able to read, I'm just going to read some of the descriptors of what hugs can do, even in a natural level. It says, loving hugs show us that we are valued and cherished. Loving hug tells us that we belong. It can reassure us, comfort us, and build our confidence and help us stay in the moment. A loving hug can even affect us at a cellular level. Some studies say that a loving hug can even boost our immune system and positively affect the hormones serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine. A loving hug can make us joyful. A loving hug can lift our spirits and connect us with others at a heart level and reassure us that we aren't alone. A loving hug could ease stress and calm anxiety. A loving hug can empower and affirm, and it can encourage and strengthen us. A loving hug can boost our self-esteem and teach us how to give and receive at the same time. You see, you were created to be loved. You were created to be hugged because God created you in His image, and that is love. So I'm just going to play this video, and then I'm just going to come back afterwards, and then we'll just go into a time of prayer, and then I'll ask Mark to come. So Father, I just thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you that you love every fiber of our being. You love every one of the 33 trillion cells in our body. Father, you created us to experience love. You created us as love sponges in our mother's womb because we were created in the image of love itself. And Father, we just ask now by the power of your Holy Spirit that there would just be an awakening in the fiber, every fiber of our being, that we would know that we were created to be loved. Father, would you just awaken that in our being and that we would be able to cry out, Abba, you really are our Father. And that we really are your sons and daughters. And Father, I just pray that hope would arise in people's hearts and they would realize that that the love that God has for them will actually transform us at a cellular level. And rewire our brain and rewire our emotions and be able to impart peace to us, impart joy to us, impart rest to us, impart everything that we need to live a full and free life here on planet Earth. Abba, thank you that you love us and you continue to love us, and the only thing that we are called to do is love you back. We love because you first loved us. So Father, we just open up our hearts to you at a level that we just welcome your love to come and transform us. The substance of your love. May it go beyond a theory or a theology. And Father, would the substance of your love change the substance of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross and rising from the dead to make a way for your Father to really become our Father. We're legitimate sons and daughters to Yahweh because of what you did on a cross. Our DNA now is your DNA. We are in you and you are in us. So I just encourage you to take a deep breath and, you know, maybe even just give yourself a big hug, you know, just put your arms around you and, you know, as I've seen Jack Winter do so many times, is it wrap your arms around you and he just prayed, I pray, Father, that these arms could become the arms of the Father for each and every one. Because we've never known a Father like you. So we just take a deep breath and just breathe in your love, Father. Thank you that every one of those 20,000 breaths we take today is an opportunity for us to breathe in your love and your kindness, because in Him, in you, we live and move and have our being. For we are your offspring. Abba, thank you that you will continue to love us even on the days when we don't feel your love. Help us, Father, to that faith would rise up and that we would believe that we are loved even when we feel that we're not. Amen. Okay, Mark, I'm just going to call you back on, mate.
Wow, thanks, Barry. It's good, yeah. It is a substance, eh? It is a substance.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Well, there was a lot of information there. I hope I didn't overwhelm people with things, but...
The joy is we can always watch it again.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, thank you everybody for coming and just being a part of this. I hope it made sense.
Sure did. And I guess we'll be back next week, eh?
Yes, absolutely. So, and if anybody wants to watch that video again, the one on hugs, you can watch. It's on the main page of fatherheart.tv. I just put it on this morning, so you can have a peek. So yeah, thanks everybody, and hope to see you next week. Thanks, mate, as always.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Bye-bye.